Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Dave Splash from thedarkstuff.com and the Dark Stuff Podcast. Thanks for checking in. This is episode number 107 of the Dark Stuff Podcast. Can you believe it? Wow. It's hard to believe we've made it this far, all the way to 107. But when you start at 100, it's a whole lot easier to get to this spectacular number. Anywho, on today's show, I'm bringing you an interview I conducted with a really fantastic up-and-coming indie band from Omaha, Nebraska, called See-Through Dresses. The band released their first full-length album in November of 2013. They're about to head out on a national tour in support of the album. I spoke with them as they were gearing up for this tour. They were just working on finding a new bass player to go on tour, and we'll get into that in a second. Let me just catch up, do a little housekeeping, as I say on the show. I've got a new place where you can find the Dark Stuff Podcast. It can now be on TuneIn, TuneIn Radio. It's an app that I always tell people who live outside of Omaha to listen to my radio show on it, because it has a lot of radio stations on it that you can listen to live from all around the world. And so TuneIn.com now has the show. So it's also, you can find it there on iTunes, on Stitcher, Spreaker, Podomatic. Eventually it gets to YouTube. And okay, so there you go. So that's that's where you can find the show. As always, if you need to reach me, you have a question about the show, whatever, I'm on Twitter at Dave Splash. Alright, and back to the See-Through Dresses. Their music has been described by saying it drones like Joy Division and has the dark ambience to match it. When you listen to them, you'll hear elements of early 90s shoegaze music, a lot of Think Creation Records stuff from the early to mid 90s, talking groups like Ride and Lush and My Bloody Valentine, Swerve Driver perhaps, some 80s influences, throwing groups like The Cure, and also a dose of classic rock perhaps, as you'll hear the band talk about in the interview. I spoke with Sarah and Matt from the band. They are both the songwriters and singers in the group. Now, I met Matt for the first time in this interview. I've known Sarah a little bit. She used to run the door at various shows here in Omaha, and so I got to know her that way. They've both been playing in bands in the Omaha area for years. They both played in a group called Honey and Darling, which is a group I played on my radio show a couple of times. There's another group, Millions of Boys. They both played in the touring version of the group The Conduits. Conduits were an Omaha band that were really good. They lasted about one album or so, and they were not on the record, but they were in the touring version. They were on Connor Oberst's label, Team Love, if I remember correctly. And now they've become the See-Through Dresses. And, of course, you'll hear them tell the story of how the band formed, sort of kind of out of the ashes of Conduits. In addition to those bands that I mentioned, Sarah has also played bass for Tim Kasher in his solo band, Tim Kasher being, of course, of Cursive and The Good Life. Before we get into the interview, I want to play you a couple of cuts off the album. The band has graciously given me permission to play music on the show. I'm going to start with a song right now called Glass. This is on side two of the record. It's one of the more rocking songs on the album, a little more of an 80s influence on it. And when we play a couple other cuts on it, you'll hear more of the shoegaze sound. But this is a cut called Glass from the See-Through Dresses.
Thank you.
Papa John's would give you a movie every time you got a pizza from them.
Oh,
and that's the time when I ordered a lot of that crap. And yeah, that's how I got Drop Dead Fred. And I got the Bill and Ted number 2 and some other movies. They were just giveaways for free.
Yeah. Sweet. I would definitely order pizzas all the time if they said that I'd get a movie with it.
Fun here. Okay. So I figured we'll just start out with just the basic stuff. Origins of the band, etc. So, you know, when did you guys start? How did you guys meet, etc.? What was the process of getting the band together?
Okay.
And I'm already recording. I was just
oh, okay. So oh, cool.
Feel free to go ahead.
All right. Well, I guess Sarah and I played in a band together a while back called Honey and Darling. And when that dissolved, we kind of... She had her other projects, and I kind of sort of stopped playing music for a little while, but I was still writing songs, I guess. I just wasn't playing publicly. And so I started writing a bunch of songs, and it was sort of intended to be more of a solo project or something. Right. But then I showed them to Sarah, and she started playing on them, and turns out she had a few songs of her own, and so we were just kind of like, well, if we each have all these songs, and we obviously want to play with each other, we should just start a new band. Called it. Sarah came up with the name See Through Dresses, and we just started practicing and played our first show in Kansas City.
So where did you get the name then, Sarah?
Oh, I have this list, a stupid list of band names or song titles or something.
Nice. I think that's really cool. We actually used it and it worked.
Yeah, it has the unfortunate acronym of STD, but...
That is true, because I made a posting today on the Dark Stuff website, and I spelled it out the first time, and then I usually don't if it's like a 3-word name. Mm-hmm. So then I put STD, and I was like, "Yeah, wait a second, maybe I shouldn't." Like...
Yeah, I'm trying to embrace it. Some people think it's intentional, but like,
I mean, it wasn't intentional.
No, it was not.
Okay, so your first show was in Kansas City, not Omaha.
It was, yeah.
Why was that?
Why did we play Kansas?
I don't know. Was it just the thing where we got invited? Just to switch it up, I guess. I think it was.
I think we have a lot of good friends in Kansas City, and they're, you know, musicians. And I think this band we played with called Every Day, Every Night just invited us up to Kansas City to play. So we're like, okay, that'll be our first show.
And
we just...
And what was your first Omaha show then?
First Omaha show.
That was...
Conduits?
It was a Conduits kickoff tour.
Yeah.
It was the last Conduits show.
And
played with the Conduits for a little bit.
Yeah, me and Matt both went on that European tour where we subsequently broke up. Conduits, not me and Matt.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, that was See Through Dress's first show.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, in Omaha.
Yeah. Now, when I listen to the record, you know, I mean, I've listened to it probably like 10, 11 times or so. I listened to it today, getting ready for the interview and everything. I'm hearing a lot of, I'll just get a little personal here. I like two different styles that always work for me, right? You either sound like the Replacements, or you sound like the an early 90s sort of shoegaze band, a la, you know, Lush, Swerve Driver, My Bloody Valentine. Okay, so you guys fall in that second category, which is, it hits the sweet spot for me, which I think is why I like the record. But is that what you guys were consciously trying to do, or is this just...
Well,
you said they initially started with you doing demos and stuff, so
sure.
What would you...
I think, I don't know if it was ever a conscious thing, but, you know, you can't escape your influences, and we love those bands that you just mentioned, too. We've listened to My Bloody Valentine.
Although we sort of got into the Replacements a little bit later.
Yeah.
Sure. But, yeah. The next one's going to sound like the
Replacements. It'll just be just drunk, you know, of rock. Totally different.
But, you know, yeah, Sarah and I, are big fans of a lot of the Creation Records stuff, and we also like a lot of, like, 80s new wave stuff, and sometimes that stuff really ends up being kind of dreamy, too, you know, like, album like The Cure's Disintegration, for example, was a big influence for me on a lot of, on a lot of things that I've written, and, so I think it just sort of happened naturally, just because that's the kind of stuff we liked. We just sort of started playing it, at least for the songs that I wrote. That's definitely how it felt.
Same with you? Yeah. Sarah?
Yeah, I just like a lot of bands and just ended up...
Were there any other groups I didn't mention that you would cite?
Like for sort of newer bands, I really like Blonde Redhead, which is just bands influenced from like the 80s.
Right.
Sonic Youth and all that. There's too many.
I think it was kind of a fun thing where this project maybe, at least, I don't know, for me, I don't want to speak for Sarah, but it was the first time where I felt like a lot of our influences sort of like finally combined, and then we found a way to mix them all together. Because, you know, there was definitely the shoegaze stuff, but then I also have always been a fan of like really guitar-driven rock and roll, you know, stuff like Dinosaur Jr. or, you know, classic rock bands. You know.
Well, that's why I always thought Swerve Driver was the ultimate shoegaze band, because they mixed American rock like Dinosaur Jr. in with that sort of the real glossy sound that most of their other British bands were doing. Yeah. I interviewed Adam Franklin a long time ago, and he neglected to tell me that they were going to get back together. Like, the announcement was like, he announced it like 3 weeks later. He obviously knew when I talked to him, but he never said anything at the time, which is kind of annoying. So... Yeah. That's neither here nor there. So obviously you guys write the songs individually and then you bring them to the band, or how does that work?
Yeah. Usually. Sarah and I have done a little bit of co-writing. I feel like one of the songs that I'd say was pretty much co-written was probably When Summer Ends, in a lot of ways. I think maybe at least in terms of the musical content, and Sarah contributed a lot of lyrics as well on some of those choruses and things. But I think for the most part, though, yeah, we usually write separately. We'll be right back.
the album, it sounds amazing. Where did you record it, and how long did it take you to do that?
We actually did it all ourselves in the basement in our
and
house.
That was really probably like the sole like engineer.
I engineered.
I mean, I assumed you went to like that the Mogus's place.
And
did it there because that whatever you're working with at that point. I mean, did you record the drums in your house too?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, wow.
And also, definitely a lot of credit goes to JJ. He mixed the album as well. But yeah, it was all done in our basement. The only thing that was done, out of our basement was the mastering and the making the lacquer for the vinyl. Of course, we don't have that kind of equipment.
Right. How long did the whole process take? Ignoring the pressing and all
started,
that, but just, you know, the recording.
We started, January 2nd of last year, and mm-hmm. it probably took half a year for it to be like complete, like,
yeah.
Recorded, mixed, and mastered.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that time is due to we were still tweaking a lot of the songs as we recorded them, which is why we, I think, chose to do it at our house, because we were still sort of figuring out what we wanted this thing to be.
You can take a lot longer that way, too.
Exactly, without racking up
under the gun and all that.
And yeah. Which, you know, the pressure of time is very valuable. I mean, that's good in a big studio when you're forced to make decisions. But I think for this one, maybe we just felt like it was a better option to be able to sit with the stuff a little longer and mess with different parts of the music more. So.
Now, you went with the self-release route, doing it that way. Was that like a conscious thing of like, we're going to just put it out ourselves? Or did you try to go a label route? Or what was the process behind that?
Because,
I mean, obviously Omaha has a label in town.
Oh, yeah.
Is that something, a goal for the future, to sort of get your record picked up by somebody else, or is the self-release route a route you want to continue going down?
We self-released just because we wanted it out as soon as possible, but we'll definitely shop the next album.
Yeah, see if we can get some help with it.
Yeah.
You can. It's hard to go... it's hard to go without some of that help that a good independent label can provide. We're really proud of what we've been able to do without it, and we really value the DIY mentality. And for this first one, I think also we felt like, you know, if we can't do it ourselves on this first record, then maybe we don't deserve attention from a label. So we kind of, it was almost like a way to prove it to ourselves in some ways.
Interesting.
That we were serious, and I think that we have definitely decided we're very serious, and we're hoping that the next one can maybe get a little more attention.
I think the record stands out because it's so strong, and it sounds like not a band that on their first record, it sounds like, I don't know, a third or fourth record or something.
Oh,
more like accomplished, if that's, you know, a word that kind of works. You went LP only, which a lot of groups are doing these days. What was the thinking behind that, and are you glad that you did it that way?
Well, I think it's the supreme format, but we actually, I finally buckled and we have compact discs for sale.
Yeah, we do. We've got some CDs now.
We just got like 100 made, and we're actually going to release a tape version through a label.
Yeah.
A tape label.
Really
cool. A
label
that puts out tapes on
it. Really, really cool tape label called Sludge People.
Thank you. if they're listening to this, grab the record besides seeing you in person?
We have a band camp that sells everything. Yeah,
we'll be on a lot more online sources as well. We're currently in the process of setting up, you know, like Spotify and things like that, and we'll have it available in more outlets online pretty soon here too. Okay. By the end of the month, I'm sure. Yeah,
that's setting up in advance of the tour and everything.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you got this tour coming up. By the time people listen to this, it probably will have already started, or it could be over because it's a podcast. You could discover it 2 years later or whatever.
Sure.
How much touring have you guys done, and what do you expect out of it? It's like a month of dates. So what is the what's the agenda, I guess, for you guys? What do we hope to? And also, you had when I contacted you initially, you had said you were auditioning bass players for the tour.
We did find someone.
So does that mean the bass player who's on the record is not in the group anymore?
No.
Correct. No. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess we're hoping to get noticed on this big tour, you know, by labels or whatever, and just make some new connections, I guess. And this is our first big tour, and we've done like two week tours, you know, baby things. So this is our first big boy.
Yeah. I think also there's just a feeling in the band of kind of like, regardless of if we do, like as Sarah said, we do want to meet people and see if we can get this thing picked up potentially, but I think we all just feel like we just want to play music all the time, and we just want to go out and play different cities and just do it as much as we can, and so we're gonna get a chance to do that for at least a month, you know, and hopefully more in this year as well.
So that's the goal, to turn this into the full-time,
absolutely,
the full-time thing. Okay, so we got this tour coming up, which is going to be starting at the end of May through June.
Yep.
Then you come back, and then it's perhaps start working on the next album for 2015. But you'll be playing sporadically throughout that whole time.
Yeah, definitely. Right?
Absolutely.
Okay. What's been your best, just the best experience as a band, whether it was like a great show or meeting somebody cool or what? What would you say is the best experience so far?
Oh, wow. Sarah, you got anything?
We've played like a couple good shows that, like, I don't know, and people weren't like, I felt like people were kind of into it, which is always nice.
Yeah.
And by the way, Sarah and I just had just such a great time kind of talking with Ben and his crew. They're just wonderful people. It was really refreshing to meet someone who's had a lot of success and is still just like, he's just a guy who likes to
guy.
Yeah, he's a guy that likes to play music, and he talks to you.
Yeah, I think Ben Queller might be like the nicest musician I've ever met.
Yeah.
Huh.
I was really sound checking a Lemonhead song, and he just got really stoked on it and just started singing along with me.
Yeah, it was sweet.
And
nice.
Yeah, that was like first 30 seconds of meeting him.
So Ben Queller, that's the experience.
Sarah, this is...
Are you the social media one?
She's definitely. More than I am, anyway.
We have Facebook. We have a Tumblr. All of this is very searchable. So you have to be careful typing in our band name.
That is an issue,
so
right?
Try to... if you write a band after See Through Dresses, and you'll probably come up with us. Otherwise, you'll get pictures of nearly naked women.
Often celebrities.
Which celebs.
Is weird. But I guess that makes sense. So.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Just like, watch out for the kids, though.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So is every city on the tour coming up like a place you have not played before? Is this all like brand new?
I would say maybe a third I've never been to.
And how did you set the whole thing up?
Luckily I've been on some tours and made some contacts. But a lot of it was over email. And just, you know, sending them a nice bio and, you know, links to our music and be like, "Hey, we want to play at your club."
Yeah, we've talked, Sarah and I have talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
How how good we have it in this day and age where you can.
All I'm saying is if I could have, when I used to go out on tour with bands, and if we could have had the internet or like a cell phone,
yeah.
I mean, if they were gone, say, and I had to reach somebody, I'd have to call the club and hope that they were there, and that one, that the club answers the phone, because a lot of them don't, and that they would actually care enough to like track down the guy in the band, and then I have to tell them like, okay, you need to put like these two people on the. I mean, now you can just send a text.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, sounding like this old guy, like all surprised by technology, but it's like it's such a different world.
Yeah, when you compare it to what you used to have to do, absolutely,
it's nuts. That's nuts.
So much easier.
What local shows do you have coming up? Because I'm going to say, I haven't even seen the band live. I haven't seen you yet.
Oh.
And I want to.
Our tour kickoff show is at Oliver's, and that's Friday, May 30th.
Okay.
And
you'll be gone for the month.
And then we'll be gone for the month. I think we're working on something in July, and then maybe August, and then that's like, then we're just writing and recording.
Yeah.
From there.
But we'll have some stuff though coming up after the tour, definitely.
And there you have it, See Through Dresses, Omaha, Nebraska. Great new up and coming band. Look them up on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, whatever. Find the tour dates. If you live in one of those cities, go to the show, pick up the record. If you can't make it because you're on the West Coast, perhaps buy the album. They have a Bandcamp page. They sell all the shit on there. So go ahead and do it. It's well worth it. And I'm going to close out the show by giving you about a minute or so of a great song off the record called Johnny. You want more of the song, you're going to have to buy the fucking album, people. That's the way the system works. Go out and do it. See the band on tour. Thanks again to Sarah and Matt for coming down to the cellar here and doing the interview. On the next Dark Stuff podcast, number 108, I will be interviewing the Omaha band Drake's Hotel. I'll be playing music from a number of their records. They'll tell you their story. It's going to be a great one. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. I'll see you next time.
Data is complete.